All right, kids, it is time for our children's message. So gather around your TVs or your computer screens or whatever you're watching this on. So I'm wondering, does anyone know what this is? It's kind of cool looking, huh? Has these panels that move different ways, very colorful. Well, this, my friends, is a Rubik's Cube. And the object of the Rubik's Cube is to move it around in different ways and try to get each panel, each side, to line up with just one color. And so, say this side you might want to be all orange, and then this side would just be all green and all yellow and red and so on and so forth. And, well, as you can see, I'm not too good at this, am I? In fact, to be honest with you, I have never been able to figure out the Rubik's Cube. And I've spent countless hours and countless time and a lot of effort trying to figure this thing out, but it usually just ends up looking like this. I mean, very, very colorful, very pretty, but not the object of the Rubik's Cube. And so I'm wondering, maybe it's time I give up the Rubik's Cube. It might be that time. Have you ever had to give up something? Maybe it was a game of hide and go seek. And this can go two ways, right? Maybe you had the best spot ever. And you're hiding and you're hiding and no one can find you and it's awesome. And then after a long period of time, everyone's finally like, oh, we give up. And so then you wait for them to not look and then you sneak out of your spot because it was an amazing spot and you're going to use it again next time. Or maybe you're on the other side of that where someone else had a really good spot and you spent all this time looking for them and you can't find them. And so all together, everyone's saying, oh, we give up. And you know, giving up can be very difficult. We don't like to give up. And for the most part, to try and to try again and to persevere and to keep doing these things it can be a good thing. But, you know, there are some things that God invites us to. God asks us to give up. And he asks us to give up these things because they're often things that weigh us down or that keep us from living the life that Jesus, that God has for us. And so some of those things that God invites and wants us to give up are things like fear or worry or anxiety or pride. And he asks us to give these things up so then we can trust him and that we can follow him. And you know, in our Bible passage today, we see this kind of same very thing happening with God's people. Moses is speaking to the Israelites, and they're just about to enter into the promised land. But some of them are afraid. They have fear that's kind of creeping in. They're worried. They're maybe even a little stressed out. And so Moses reminds them and says, "Do not be afraid. Be strong and be courageous." In other words, he's saying, give up your fear and trust because God is with you and God's strength is with you and God's courage is with you. So be strong and courageous because God is with you and he will never leave you. And you know what? That promise, that truth is the same truth and promise for us today. And so God is inviting us and asking us to give up things like fear and worry and give those things up in exchange for his strength and his courage. So let's pray and ask God to help us because, like I said, it can be hard to give things up. So you can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you that you are always with us. Help us to give up fear. Help us to give up our worries. Help us to trust you. Remind us that you are always with us. We thank you and we love you. And all of God's children said, Amen.
So before I read our scripture reading from Deuteronomy 31, some stuff has happened before our passage, as is always true. But in this particular case, obviously, the whole Exodus has taken place. The Israelites have been wandering for 40 years. And during that wilderness wandering, there have been epic provisions by God and epic failures by his people. So in just the few chapters leading up to this, chapter 29 and 30 of Deuteronomy, the covenant that God makes between himself and his people, that covenant is renewed. And then he makes his faithfulness clear that it's guaranteed. And then he says to the people, choose life. You have a choice. You could choose death or life, but choose life. That's your best choice. And then we read this from God's word. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. God, speak to us through your word. Speak to us your truth to us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Moses, the fearless leader of the Israelites, been leading them for the last 40 years through the wilderness, he will not be going with them as they cross over to the Jordan River. But he's got one more pep talk sort of in him that he wants to deliver before they cross over without him. Now, this is sort of a wilderness locker room talk is how I imagine it, as he sends them out onto this field that's being referred to as a land flowing with milk and honey. So here's the pep talk. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of your enemies across the Jordan River. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the pep talk. Actually, Moses gives two pep talks, and they're very similar. One's to the people, and then a second one to Joshua. It has slight alterations that we'll look at in just a minute. But the question is, why two almost identical speeches or pep talks? Now, we're assuming Joshua is listening while Moses is addressing the people and saying, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, God will never leave you or forsake you, that he's hearing this. So why does Moses repeat himself to Joshua? And he doesn't exactly repeat himself, but it's all there. He kind of flips the order a little. He says, be strong and courageous, God will never leave you or forsake you, do not be afraid. And it's what he says after do not be afraid that's slightly different in each pep talk. So to the people, he says, do not be afraid or terrified. But to Joshua, he says, do not be afraid or discouraged. So why don't be afraid or terrified to the people and don't be afraid or discouraged to Joshua? Certainly, as a leader, Moses knows a thing or two about discouragement. He's been leading an anxious and at times terrified group of people. For 40 years, they vacillated between basically gratitude and whininess, a lot of whininess, obedience and idolatry, trust and suspicion, faith and fear. Truth be told, he's watched them get worked up in a lather a lot more than he's seen them sort of resting in the shadow of the Almighty that we talked about last week from Psalm 91. I mean, there's very little resting in the shadow of the Almighty during this wilderness wandering. I bet if Moses was standing here, he'd also confess that he had been fearful too. You see, no matter who you are, it's okay to say, I'm afraid, I'm fearful. Fear is creeping in. Because fear is understandable. It's especially understandable when you stand between where you have been and what you have known, and you're not yet where you're going or where you're going to end up. That's a hard place to be. And that's often where fear and anxiety creep in. I'd say that's a pretty good description of where we are today. We know where we've been or who we were or what was what, but where is all this going? In his book just a year ago, 2019, Carpe Diem Redeemed, Oz Guinness says, all across the world, the dominant emotion in the global era is fear. With everything interconnected, no one seemingly in charge, events appearing out of control, and individuals feeling overwhelmed by the scale and speed of the problems, fear is real, he says, and far from irrational. And remember, he wrote this a year ago. He wrote this before COVID. He wrote this before the recent racial unrest. Oz Guinness was supposed to be here in church March 29th, and all that changed. But his words are more true now than ever. Fear is real. It's understandable for everyone, not just some people, for everyone. Fear is understandable. But also, maybe especially, fear is understandable for leaders. Why is that? Well, just generally speaking, people are anxious, fearful of the unknown. And a leader's job is to help people journey, whether literally or spiritually or whatever, to go from where they are, what they know, what they're certain of, to an unknown future. That's what leaders do. It's an uncertain destination that leaders lead people to an unknown place. And that causes a lot of anxiety in people, doesn't it? So courage is necessary when you're leading anxious people. It's always necessary when you're leading people. But if, by and large, leaders are leading somewhat anxious people, then it's going to be hard to lead. Because when we are anxious, our tendency is to do what? Our tendency is to stand still, dig in our heels, fight back, remain stuck, deflect responsibility. I mean, we do that all the time in big and little ways for all sorts of reasons. So when Moses says to the people, be strong and courageous, don't be afraid or terrified. I mean, we all need to hear that, right? But Joshua, as a leader, needed to hear, do not be afraid or discouraged. And maybe you need to hear that too. You don't have to be the president of a country or company to be a leader. You don't have to be a pastor or a high school principal to be a leader. Moms and dads lead families. Friends lead conversations or give direction to their peer group. Volunteers lead other volunteers for nonprofits. Teachers lead classrooms. And students lead their peers in the classroom, in the club room, out on the field. Most of us are leading in some way every day. And most of us get discouraged as we attempt to lead others, right? To Joshua and to us, Moses says, don't be afraid or discouraged. Discouraged. Cut off from courage. Don't get cut off from courage. So the question is, two, where does courage come from? And then how do we lose it? How do we get cut off from courage? Well, how do we get courage? For those who follow Christ, for those who would say we lean into God's word for truth about life, we're told that courage comes not by mustering up courage on our own like the little engine that could, not necessarily even by kind of just right pep talks from leaders. I mean, yes, there's some courage building there, but courage, real courage, comes by remembering what God has done. That's very different than I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, or me telling you I think you can. We remember what God has done, and that gives us courage. So God actually gives Moses a pep talk in the chapters leading up to our reading today. And in that pep talk in Deuteronomy 29, verse 7, he says, hey, remember, Moses, what I did to King Sihon and King Og. Like, I did that. Remember that. I'm going to do that again. Moses actually then, in his pep talk, you heard, refers to both of those kings and what God did to them. He says, and the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. So don't be discouraged. That's what he said to Joshua, but that's what God's word says to us. Don't be discouraged. Even though you don't see how God will make a way for you, or how it is that God's going to fight for you, or come through for you, or be your strength and deliver you, one thing you can do, one thing I can do, is we can look back and remember what God has already done. Courage comes as we remember. And so in the church, courage is bolstered when we remember Christ's sacrifice as we celebrate communion, the costly victory of Jesus. When we look at the Old and New Testament scriptures, we remember that God, again and again, he doesn't leave or forsake his people. He doesn't walk away from them. And then we have this other thing, and you may not use the word testimony, but we look at our own lives. We look back at our own lives, and we remember all the times God showed up, came through, didn't leave us or forsake us. And then we listen to the stories of others who also have testimony, who also remember, who can tell us how God has been faithful to them. It's good just to remember. To remember what Christ has done, to remember what God has done throughout the Old and New Testament, and to remember what he's done currently in our own lives, in the lives of those gone before us, and ahead of us, and are beside us. Courage comes, it grows, it's sustained, as we keep looking back to remember, to see, and to declare that God really doesn't leave us or forsake us. So that's how courage grows best. At least the kind of courage that Moses is talking to Joshua about. So how is it that we get discouraged or cut off from courage? How does courage diminish in our lives? Well, this tends to happen when we stop focusing on the faithfulness of God and take all our cues about who we are and where we're going and what we're worth. We start taking all our cues, not from God and what he says, what he's done, but from the people that we're leading or the people around us. When you start to look at the people around you for your main source of encouragement, it's a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for discouragement. When we lead, we get criticized by someone or someones for some things in some way. We get criticized. It happens to every leader because people doubt that we know what we're doing or where we're going. And you know what's happening is, again, you're talking about going somewhere you don't know about yet. And so there's this anxiety and this fear. And whenever we're anxious and fearful, we want answers, we want results, we want to know exactly what's going to happen. And leaders can't provide that perfect answer. So typically, in people's anxiety, they lash out. That's what they did to Moses all through this wilderness wandering. Moses, you just brought us out here in the desert to kill us. They literally accused him of that. Moses, we were better off in Egypt. Moses, we had manna yesterday. We're sick of manna. We want meat to eat. Moses, how much longer? How much longer till we get to the promised land? That's how it is. And that's how it is in any form of leadership. This is how simple it is. Ask any parent who has had the courage to plan for, pack for, and pay for a vacation. Just ask them, how do you feel when your kids or your spouse or everyone else that's in on this vacation at your family reunion, how do you feel when they complain about the food or the accommodations or the itinerary? Leading can be so discouraging at any level. Now, sometimes people just don't like to be led, and they don't seem to like us, and they don't like the direction. And so in our discouragement, because that is discouraging, what do? We give up. We give up. Moses is saying to Joshua, don't give up. God has chosen you to lead these people across that river into the promised land. It's up to you. They will need you to help them divide all this land up, to lead the charge. Now, they won't tell you they need you, Joshua, but they will. They won't make you feel needed, but they do need you. So don't be afraid, and don't be discouraged, because God is with you, and he will lead you. That's the pep talk just to Joshua. So can we just say leadership at any level is hard work, and it can be very discouraging. It requires patience and persistence, not just courage, but patience and persistence. And our world seems to be lacking both. So I'm just finishing up this Oz Guinness book. It has nothing to do with the sermon, but he lands on this whole thing about patience and persistence. And in his book about redeeming time, he mentions that for those who understand leadership and change from a Jewish and Christian perspective in the context of a covenantal view of time. So the whole book's about time, but here he's saying, for Christians and Jews, we understand time and its effect on leadership and change, that we must be long-term people. So we got to think of the long term, and we need to think incrementally. And see, that's where you need patience and perseverance for the long term, but also for all those increments of change. He writes, to partner with God and serve his purposes in the world assumes and requires change. But whether the change is personal and individual or social and political, change takes time. Why? Because changing the heart is essential. Changing our hearts, your heart, my heart, takes time. It takes patience and persistence. Just ask God or the people closest to you. Patience and persistence are so important, but they're in such short supply. For those in Christ, patience and persistence, and I'm going to rename persistence as faithfulness, patience and faithfulness are two of the nine fruits of the Spirit. And our kids have been learning about the fruits of the Spirit with Andrew and Janet and Tasha. So here's two of them, patience and persistence or faithfulness. They are fruit of the Spirit that is explained or listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. They're fruit of the Spirit. They're not just character qualities. They're not even just human virtues. Which means if they're fruit of the Spirit, it means they originate and they grow because of God's activity in us. God's activity in us. These are supernatural gifts of patience and faithfulness or persistence we're talking about. Not something we fabricate. Now, we have our version of patience. I mean, I know a lot of patient people who kind of build patience just on their own, apart from God's Spirit. And I know a lot of persistent people, even faithful people, right? But though we have impressive levels of patience and persistence, they're knockoffs compared to the real deal from the Spirit of patience and persistence. So how do you know the difference between the patience that you're building on your own apart from the Spirit of God and the supernatural patience that God builds and grows in us? How do we know the difference between godly persistence and faithfulness and the counterfeit? Well, just a couple questions. What's the difference between patience and giving in to paralyzing fear? Or just being a people pleaser that just patiently waits and doesn't do anything? And as a people pleaser, I can tell you, these are the questions I'm asking myself all the time. And in this season we're in, am I just being patient? Is this supernatural patience? Or am I actually just paralyzed with fear? The reason I'm seemingly still is because I don't know what to do. Or because I just want to keep people pleased and I can't figure out if people are pleased, so I'm just going to stay here. Is that patience or is that fear? Here's another kind of conundrum. What's the difference between just persistence, godly faithfulness, and stubbornness, or an unwillingness to budge, or an unwillingness to give up, or an unwillingness to admit, like, yeah, this is the wrong direction. I think maybe we should start over this direction. How do you know? Is it godly patience and persistence and faithfulness, or is it some other thing going on in us? And here's the thing. I'm not going to answer the question for you. I'm going to tell you what I tell myself. It's something I've got to discover between myself and God, for sure, and then some people that are willing to surround me and lovingly, patiently work with me and ask me those hard questions. Hey, Tom, is this patience, or are you just being a people pleaser, or are you paralyzed with fear? I mean, what's going on? Now, even if we get the patience and persistence thing just right, we're still going to be discouraged as leaders. We're still going to face discouragement. The people we love and lead won't be an endless source of encouragement. In fact, often, and we're all guilty of this, we're a source of discouragement for those who are just trying to lead us along. The only source of continual, never-ending, always consistent encouragement comes from the love, presence, power, and faithfulness of the God who said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. That's the only source, endless source of encouragement and patience and faithfulness. It's the God who in the end wins and drives away all fear. You know, we know, it didn't look like God had won when they nailed his son to the cross. Talk about discouragement. I mean, his followers just lost every ounce of encouragement they had been gaining over the years. They grieved, they hid, and they just about gave up. But the one who told them in John 14, don't let your hearts be troubled, do not let them be afraid, that guy, he came back to life. He defeated death. He showed up. He came to their rescue. We're going to sing about the God of angel armies in just a minute. The God of angel armies in the person of Jesus showed up. He was right by their side once again. In fact, he had never left them or forsaken them. And that's the good news that reminds us we don't have to be afraid. Another quote from Oz Guinness as he kind of winds this book down about redeeming time. He says, listen, evil may run rampant. Accidents will happen. Disappointments and setbacks may dismay the best of us. And at times there may seem to be no meaning to it all. But there is always, he says, the tirelessly repeated reassurance that is backed by 1,000 reasons, do not fear. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you come alongside of us again and again, that you go before us, that you fight for us, that you prepare the way for us, that you help us cross rivers, that you part waters for us. We thank you, God, that you never leave us or forsake us. And I pray for those who feel forsaken or who feel right now, for whatever reason, left behind. God, I pray that by your Spirit, that you would be persistent with them in your faithfulness, in your desire to show your presence, Lord. Walk with each of us. We pray this all with grateful hearts. Amen.